It's November, and that means National Novel Writing Month, that time of year when thousands of people commit to writing about 1,500 words a day, every day, no matter what, for a month. It's kind of like boot camp for would-be writers. Novelist Scott Westerfeld is a big supporter. He's a star in the world of young adult fiction, the author of popular series like Peeps and Uglies, and his latest book, called Afterworlds, is about a teenage girl who takes part in National Novel Writing Month. But actually, this is not just one book, it's two.
One is about Darcy Patel. She is a young writer who basically wrote a novel in her senior year in high school and somewhat unexpectedly had it published and for a huge amount of money for her. So she's decided to defer college for a year, rewrite the novel, and hang out with thinly veiled caricatures of me and my friends in New York. The novel she's written, which is included in its entirety, is about another young woman, Lizzie Schofield, who is involved in a terrorist attack while changing planes in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Basically, there's a bunch of gunmen who come in and start killing people, and her only recourse, her only way to escape, is to play dead. And she winds up playing dead too well and finds herself transported into a sort of afterworld plane. And after that experience, she can see ghosts. She starts to get these sort of gnarly psychopomp powers. She becomes a soul guide. And
wait, psychopomp?
Right. Psychopomp is a word meaning a soul guide. And it's such a great word, I decided to use it for this book. And I forget that other people have not heard it, perhaps.
We also get this inside glimpse of YA, young adult publishing, by following Darcy. How accurate is that?
About 93% of the incidents that I describe are actually things that have happened to me and my friends.
So there really is a YA drinks night that happens in Manhattan somewhere?
Yes, it's reaching its 10th anniversary, actually. So for almost 10 years now, us YA writers have been meeting monthly to plot the poisoning of America's teenagers' minds. Just like you'd think we would.
The Latter-day Algonquin Club or something. But, you know, for people who follow YA fiction, I mean, they're probably drooling listening to this because you guys have all become celebrities. What's happened?
It is pretty weird. When I first started writing YA, my first book came out in 2004, and the teen section of the bookstore was a sleepy little non-entity next to the kids section, and the parts of the publishing company that published YA weren't a big deal. Like, nobody cared if they if they rose or fell. And now those are the engines of the greatest growth and the greatest profit, and that big stack of books at the front of the bookstore, you know, that sells the most copies and that keeps the lights on is most likely by, you know, either Susan Collins or John Green or Gail Forman or Stephanie Meyer. Like, over the last 10 years, it's the teen books that are the profit centers for publishing and that sort of have kept everything alive. And that's been a really weird thing to see.
Yeah. So you've got a whole theory about this, right, that places this explosion of young adult fiction in the larger context of what it means to be a teenager today and really this relatively new life stage, historically speaking, the young adult.
Yeah, teenagers haven't existed for very long, actually. They, 100 years ago, there were basically two stages of life. You were an infant, and then you turned 12 or 13, and somebody shipped you off to the mine or the factory or to marriage or to, you know, the Navy. But, starting about 150 years ago, we got child labor laws and then laws about not having child soldiers. And then the marriage age started to go up. And as a result, we wound up with this third stage of life, this sort of middle period of adolescence, which is still contested in a way. We're still trying to figure out, you know, how it works and what the rules should be, which is why the drinking age is different in every country and voting age changes and the ages at which you can have dangerous jobs or sign contracts or get married. All of that is sort of constantly being fiddled with because we don't really understand what it is to be a teenager yet.
And the years that we consider the teenage years are now expanding. So, you know, we've seen a bunch of new neuroscience about the teenage brain or the young adult brain not really maturing until at least the mid-20s, if not later.
Yeah, and that those numbers are reflected in the audience of the people who read YA as well. You have lots of 20-year-olds who keep reading YA after they get out of college, and they still want those teen stories because that stage of life is so dramatic and vital and is full of firsts, like your first love and your first kiss and your first beer and your first meaningful betrayal and your first time you are betrayed. All of those dramatic things are going on and are still going on in our 20s.
So what does it say about me that I'm 54 and I read YA fiction?
Well, that just proves that you have maintained brain plasticity. And
you just called me a secret teenager.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I do think that all of these characteristics that we associate with teenagers, rebellion and questioning authority and acquiring new skills and generating new language and slang and culture are all, you know, things that we should all be doing our entire lives.
Well, there's another story about young adult fiction that I think is not talked about so much, and that's the explosion of young adult writing, not writing for young adults, but writing by young adults. I mean, maybe I just think this because I have two teenagers and I get a glimpse of their world, but I don't know, this seems like a thing, is it?
It's definitely the case that, as never before, teenagers use writing as a part of their literacy process. They tweet in character, they write fan fiction, they write their own novels. I'd love to go back to the time of Reefer Madness in a time machine in the 1950s and say, you know, I come from the future, and where I come from, let me tell you how teenagers turned out. They write book reports voluntarily on websites like Goodreads, and so many people want to consume these amateur book reports by other teenagers that this is actually a viable business model.
Don't you think we need to pause here to thank an entire generation of teachers?
And additionally, perhaps J.K. Rowling, who made a certain series that meant that every couple years there were 2 weeks when there was one object that it was absolutely imperative to have in your hand, and that object was a book.
We're coming up on November, which is also NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. I don't know how many of our listeners actually know about it, have heard of it, but you and your wife, who's also a writer, have both been involved with this, big supporters of it. How come?
Well, NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month, and it's a time when basically 500,000 people in the United States declare their intention to write a novel in November, writing more than 1,600 words every day, exactly. So 50,000 words in a month. I just like NaNo because it means a lot of people engage the novel as a form. And I just love the idea that, you know, of those 500,000, at least a couple hundred thousand are teenagers or in their early 20s, and they are learning how to write novels, and they're learning how novels are put together, so they're becoming better readers as well as better writers.
So what happens to go back to the novel you just finished writing, how is Darcy changed from her experience of writing a novel?
Well, to some extent, her revision process is taking place at the same time as she's growing up. You know, she looked at this first draft that she wrote while she was a callow 17-year-old in high school, and now as an experienced 18-year-old who lives on her own and knows everything, she has to reconstruct that story and tell that story again. I mean, there's this funny thing that happens to me when I look at my first draft, after I finish. I look at those first few chapters, and they're really kind of embarrassing. They're like pictures of me in middle school. And it's because back then I didn't know anything about what I was writing. I didn't really understand the novel yet. Now that I'm at the end, I understand it. And I think that's something that we all experience in life, as we look back at ourselves 2 months ago, 10 years ago, sometimes even like 10 minutes ago, and we see how callow we were and how we didn't understand. And that recognition that you have to rewrite yourself, that you have to revise yourself, is part of growing up.
You keep writing stories about teenagers, and you've been doing it for more than 10 years now. You've written 18 novels. When you're 80, will it feel weird to still be writing about teenagers?
I hope not. It's not weird by the time you're 51. I don't see why it would be any weirder when you were 86. But I'll let you know. Hopefully, you know, as long as people are still publishing me, I'm sure I'll still be writing something.
Scott Westerfeld is the author of many young adult novels. His latest, which is actually two novels in one, is called Afterworlds. And hey, if you're interested in taking part in National Novel Writing Month, we'll post a link on our website.